Welcome to the Sacred Window Podcast. I'm your host, Christine Devlin-Eck. Here at the Center for Sacred Window Studies, we explore and expand on conscious postpartum care. We navigate the overlap of caring for others and caring for ourselves. We honor the transitions, not only in giving birth, but in being alive. Welcome to the conversation.
And I will never be the same.
Hello, welcome to the Sacred Window Podcast. I'm Christine Eck. I'm so happy to be here today with Jennifer Sommerfeldt. We're going to be talking about the therapy map, which is a unique approach to mapping out the mom's healing journey. Jennifer is the founder of Ask Therapy and author of Healing After Birth. She's a mom, a therapist, she's a writer, a mentor. Her organization is a virtual counseling clinic dedicated to providing trauma, polyvagal, and childbirth-informed support to mothers navigating the entire perinatal continuum. Her goal is to contribute to the dialogue around maternal mental health, to break stigmas, and offer guidance to those who may be navigating similar journeys. There is no doubt that supporting perinatal mental health is a huge part of postpartum care, as our approach to a whole path of healing, which from the Ayurvedic perspective is so much about the mind, the body, the spirit, being able to have conversations like these with mental health professionals such as yourself, who are specifically focused on the experience of new parents, is so important. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show. And you froze there for a moment, but I think we're okay now. I'm pleased to be here, and already just based on your introduction and what you said about Ayurveda health, you know, we aligned. So I think you will appreciate some of the perspectives that will be shared here.
Yeah, thank you. So let's kind of dive in. I mean, you are a mental health professional. You care so deeply about the experience of not just postpartum, but we're talking about like that whole huge transition. You know, what was it that made you start to really focus your work on that window of time?
It's always the best question to start with. And I'll do my best to not take up the entire podcast with the answer. The short answer is I was introduced to, you know, the world of birth through my own birthing experiences. So my oldest is about to be 24. So, you know, 25 years ago, I was introduced to instinctive childbirth. I was introduced to the postpartum, obviously, and like many moms after they've given birth, whether that birth was ecstatic or very life-giving, or if that birth was traumatic or full of grief or disappointment, I notice that moms often have a fire lit within. And that fire can be this desire to want to share with the world and support other moms in their journey and towards motherhood. So for me, a fire was lit, and that started my journey. And that journey began with more of the birth work side of things. So started by opening up a local store with a friend of mine, and we're still friends today, 25 years later. And, you know, we were ahead of the curve. We opened up a store that was very focused on natural birthing and natural parenting and attachment parenting, and, you know, kind of filled the store with all of those goodies that would support that paradigm, you know, that more granola kind of paradigm. And the idea of it was to be a community hub for moms. So we really wanted moms and parents to gather and come to a place that would nurture them in person, locally. And so we set up this store so that there was nothing that toddlers could touch to create a stress-free environment so that, you know, we could gather and share tea. So that was the beginning of my journey a long time ago. We started that store in 2001. So you know, like I said, ahead of the times. And that just evolved into, you know, becoming a childbirth educator and then training as a holistic doula and then training in the paradigm of, I guess we could call it direct entry midwifery or spiritual midwifery. And so then I did like an 8-year apprenticeship and training program there. And, you know, so that was the world I was in. I thought I could support moms to have the best possible birth experience that they could have by entering that world, which is common. And my background prior to that was actually performance psychology, which also was known as sports psychology back then. And so I kind of always had this background on peak performance, and I approached my birth experiences as an athletic endeavor and trained my mind and my body system in the same way that I would for my athletic career. And that seemed to work well for me. So it was only after, you know, many years when I decided to return to academics to complete my master's in counseling psychology and kind of merge all of my knowledge together to be supporting moms in the postpartum. And that really came out of my own healing journey, not just with a postpartum experience with my third. That was very challenging, and I write about that in my book, Healing After Birth. But my larger healing story, in which I went down kind of my own studies of understanding how do we heal from trauma. And because I have such a strong belief in our body's ability to heal, I believe that that also translated to our mind's ability to heal. And so that is what I carry through all the work that I do, is a profound belief that we are innately designed to heal and to thrive. And, and because of that, I really wanted to understand the neurobiology of what we call mental illness and what's happening to moms in the postpartum in particular at that time as well. And then, you know, what are the conditions that we need that would actually support our entire system to heal and to start to orient towards flourishing and thriving. And, you know, and so you mentioned that in Ayurvedic tradition, you're looking at the mind, body, spirit, right? Connection. And so very similar, you know, I look at, and I often explain to clients that, you know, we're working on multi-levels here. So first we're going to approach your body system, which is your nervous system, because we want to help to restore your nervous system back towards a state of coherence. And really that is anchoring in polyvagal terms, your ventral vagal state, which is really your state of calm connection. And, you know, so kind of reconnecting with that aspect of your embodied system that's always there, right? Just we lose touch with it. So we focus on that body system, which I said is your nervous system. And then we move to your heart system, which is your emotional system, right? So we have to be able to feel our feelings. And we live in a culture that is very much afraid of feeling too much. We're afraid of feeling those harder feelings. We're afraid of finding our tears for fear that we may never come out of it, right? So we live in a culture of, quote, you know, striving for happiness, right? This pursuit of happiness. And actually, as an embodied being, we're all of those feelings. We experience all of those feelings. And so learning how to be with the felt experience and learning how to move the emotional material is part of the healing process, so that it doesn't get stuck in our system and create debris or blocks or burdens. And then I speak about the need to heal the mind, which is the cognitions. And, you know, what happens is that we attach a story to everything that we experience because the mind seeks to make meaning, right? And especially if we're experiencing something that we would deem as traumatic or highly stressful or very challenging, right? The mind is going to orient towards that to try to understand what happened. And so it's going to attach a story, and it's a story of meaning to make sense out of. And that sense-making process is part of the embodied system so that it can maybe calm the system, but also anchor in that going, okay, now we understand, and we're going to do everything in our power to never let that happen again. You know, this is all happening below perceptual awareness. But generally speaking, what happens is that we attach a story, and that story is a story of limiting beliefs. And underneath the story is what I call your core limiting belief. And that core limiting belief is an I am statement. And this is something that is shared amongst all of us. So it's personal and unique. And when we're in it, it's our own kind of personal hell. But we realize that these are shared limiting beliefs. So there's something to be said about that. And because those limiting beliefs create dysregulation, incoherence, fear, sadness, despair, we can safely know and assume that they're not life-giving. Therefore, they're not true. And so I remind people that these are the lies that we've been telling ourselves for as long as we've been here. So we would have adopted those lies very young based on our environment. And that's how we made sense out of things. And the only way a child can make sense out of things is to internalize, I am fill in the blank. It must be because I am bad. It must be because I am not worthy. It must be because I'm not lovable. It must be because I'm incompetent. I'm inadequate. I'm incapable. And those stories that we tell ourselves kind of lay the foundation to a lot of the stressors that we experience in our life. So I help moms, and I help people in general, not just moms, but a lot of moms, turn those stories around to realize that those stories are the lies that we've been telling ourselves, and they're not life-giving, therefore they're not true. And what I've noticed is that when moms actually unhook from that through a process of an inner process that I can explain later, a natural kind of compassionate story arises. And that story is more filled out and it's less attacking. And it's usually full of compassion, full of love, full of understanding. And in that state, right, we kind of like can actually drop into that ventral state of calm, connected. So our natural state of being that occurs when we get out of the way is one of love, one of coherence, one of calm connection. And that's what we're trying to restore and return to. And then the final kind of system that I talk about is your spiritual system or your soul system. And I'll often say to a parent, like, you know, does this resonate for you? You know, not, it may not, right? So if they're open to the idea that there's also a spiritual, energetic soul system that's also impacted by what it is that we're struggling with, then we go into that territory too, which is more the transpersonal. So those are the four systems that we work with in the therapy map. So bringing it back to the therapy map. Okay, that was a lot.
there was a lot. And it was all so many. It was just like ping, ping, ping. There were so many things about what you just shared. Thank you so much. That really just kind of in wonderful, surprising ways lit me up. I mean, for sure, number one, as we move into awareness of mental health, specifically for postpartum people, what's so important for people to know, and I want to say this at the beginning here, is that mental health, like postpartum mental health, does not exist in the training for mental health therapists. It's like outside. You have to reach outside and get extra training to be able to do that. So it's so important to work with somebody who has specific training for postpartum people. What I am loving so much about what you have just shared, Jennifer, is how you have focused on these different areas, all as sort of roads that lead into the multifaceted people that we are, and also the unique ways that we specifically heal, find resonance, feel seen, heard, held. And also, one thing that I think really, well, I also felt that fire in me light up when I knew that this is a period of life that I knew that I was being called to work in, but that Ayurveda specifically, or this more whole approach to healing, is very empowering. You started by talking about your background in performance psychology, and I'm so drawn to that because it's ultimately like taking actionable steps to experiencing what it is we believe we're capable of experiencing and what we know we want to do in life. And I think in so many cases, when we are experiencing various, you know, states of, you know, unease in our hearts and in our minds, it's because we don't feel in power. We don't feel like we have the autonomy to create a different experience. And so I, along with you, feel so drawn to what are the ways that I can harness my own choices and create the reality that I want to experience right now, the healing journey that I want to have, the motherhood journey that I want to have. I am not at the mercy of circumstance around me. I get to decide what this is. And so as I'm listening to you, I just feel so excited about the way that you're approaching it. You spoke about feelings and sort of moving that emotional material. And I feel my feelings are that it's, you know, feelings are like that electricity. It like helps us to like move through whatever it is. The feelings are like the movement, the energy. And it's an invitation. It's like, not like, let's push back on that icky feeling right there. It's like, okay, this is like part of this movement that's going to then lead me to this other place. And if I can ride through that, and it literally still happens to me today, if I have a day where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just feeling really down. I'm feeling down. I'm feeling stressed. I've kind of learned from my own experience enough now that I trust that that's going to, like, I'm going to move through that. And then I'm going to be able to wake up in a different frame of mind, but I can't cut it off. I've got to like hold it and be okay with it. Yeah, it's really beautiful. And then when you talked about the I am statement, I had to smile because I've been really, really feeling into those I am statements and creating who we know we are with those statements. It's like the opposite of like, I'm not experienced. I don't know. I am not knowledgeable. I am not whatever it is. It's like, that's power right there. Those statements are power. So when we can create the I am statements that affirm, that honor, that celebrate all the things that we are, that has equal power. So anyway, yeah, this is some of the things that I'm thinking of as I'm listening to you. And yeah, and I want to ask you about the therapy map that you talk about, which I think is kind of a unique approach, and maybe that's what we kind of just talked about. But when you're working with people specifically in the postpartum window who are struggling, how do you use this therapy map with them?
Yeah, so the therapy map really is a blueprint specific for therapists, in particular perinatal therapists, to help us with our client paint the picture, paint the journey for them. And it was born out of my own lived experience, working with clients and realizing, like, I'm a deep end swimmer. So meaning it's very easy for me to go to those deep waters, those deep emotional waters. And my experience is that if a client feels safe enough in my presence, they'll go there with me. But sometimes, and I had to learn this the hard way, they're not actually ready for it, nor are they in the driver's seat of it. So it's unfolding, it's happening, but they weren't quite prepared for the material that's going to surface when we go into the deep end. And then I started to realize that as a trauma therapist, you know, we can spend a lot of time in the deep waters. And, you know, we might move some grief, we might move anger, we might move rage, we might move despair, meaning it's moving through the embodied system. And then we come back a week later or 2 weeks later, and we're doing the same thing. And I started to question the efficacy of that. In a lot of my training and a lot of my own lived experience of my own healing journey, I understood that there's a down and under and there's an up and out. And if we're just going down and under kind of every session, you know, where's the up and out that's actually shifting us towards the trajectory of the being that we want to become, the person we want to embody, the life we want to step into or begin living? And so, you know, I've kind of merged a bunch of paradigms together. And the one paradigm that is not part of any kind of mental health training, is the paradigm of, you could call it consciousness studies, let's say expanded consciousness studies. Unless you're taking training at like Naropa or some kind of transpersonal therapy, generally speaking, we don't talk a lot about consciousness. And, you know, for me, I understood that that's a big part of our healing. And, you know, I'm not a quantum physicist, so I feel like I can't do justice to the world of quantum physics, but I know within the studies of consciousness, we talk a lot there. There's a lot of talk, not we, there is a lot of talk around this idea of the quantum reality, the field, and being able to expand one's energy and attention into that field, that there's this field of possibility. I'm a big follower of Joe Dispenza's work. So I have done years of his meditations. I have studied his books and his retreats. And like, I'm a believer in Joe Dispenza's work. So if anybody out there wants to know who that is, Google Joe Dispenza, watch some of his videos, read some of his books. You know, they're doing academic studies right now on consciousness. And the research is coming out that, it's healing is absolutely happening and possible. And so anyways, I'm not going into much detail there. So I'm sorry if I'm confusing people, but all of that being said, I knew that it's really important that we can direct our intention and our energy towards the state of being that we want to embody more of. And so part of the up and out phase of healing in our work of recovery and our work of, let's say, working towards mental health, right? We have to understand what mental health is first. And then part of that is being able to shift our attention away from the suffering and towards that thriving state of being and be able to embody a felt experience of that. Am I making sense?
You are making beautiful sense.
And okay.
I can't agree more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I need to unpack this even more, just please interrupt with questions. So all of that to say, back to why the therapy map. So I was realizing that in the traditional paradigm of mental health, so like psychology, counseling, psychotherapy, even trauma-informed care, we're setting up the condition to feel safe enough to go down and under, right? Hopefully feel the feelings, hopefully make sense out of things, connect the dots, right? Maybe understand how everything is interconnected. Have some relief in the sense of, oh, that felt better because I discharged all that emotional material. I felt safe. I felt seen. I felt soothed, which we know fosters secure attachment, which we know are the conditions to be able to create repair. So all this is happening. Yes, that's fostering resilience and increasing or strengthening our window of tolerance. So I could understand all of that. And so it's like, okay, we create these conditions for the client to feel safe enough to feel their feelings. Let's just call it that. And that's the down and under. But then I was holding the question, but where are we going? Right? So if we're not actively, consciously engaging to become the author of our own life, meaning we're in the driver's seat. Well, what's in the driver's seat then becomes the question to hold, right? And I do pose this question with my clients. And you know what? 100% of my clients so far can identify with the witnessing self, an observing self, a capital S self, a higher self, a spiritual self. There's different words that they use, but they can relate to that. They can identify with that. And so that's what we're connecting with, is how can that capital S self, that's interfamily systems language, how can that witnessing self, that consciousness, how can that be in the driver's seat? Not the programs, not the wounds, not the stories, not all the ego parts, but this aspect of you that truly has never been impacted by all of our very, very painful experiences of suffering as a human on this planet, right? And when we can connect to that, then something usually shifts. And that's what I call the up and out phase of being able to move towards that state of being that really is something is in the driver's seat. And it's not all of my parts, right? And it's not just my imprints and programs and patterns that are embodied in this biological being, but that it's something else. And then when we connect to that, then we start to work with it, right? Then we start to orient towards that. So that, to me, is the piece that was missing in any kind of traditional mainstream mental health care. And I included that in, you know, not only the therapy map, but the process that I've developed called the flowing fears, which does the down and under and the up and out. So with the therapy map, I started to see that we needed some containment. So not to control, but to create a bit of like boundaries, like to create a sandbox, to create a boat, to, right? So something where we're not just out there at sea diving forever, right? We have this container, so the therapy map becomes the container, and the client directs, you know, from island A to island B, right? So you're there as the therapist, as the guide to support the process, but we're going from island A to island B in this kind of container, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's like a 10-step process to work with the client to discern kind of where along their journey are they? What kind of support do they need? How are we going to facilitate that support, right? And then, you know, I say ultimately what we're trying to do is go from that, the wounded place, to the place of wisdom, so that the story, you know, basically shifts. You know, I'm not talking toxic positivity here, but there's an actual transformation that happens from within, where one comes into therapy with a wounded story and they leave with a story of transformation that they get to hold as their own medicine and their own wisdom. And then that becomes a story they tell, let's say, about their birth experience or their postpartum experience. And it's a story that is true. And it's not negating the difficulties or the emotional challenges, but it's no longer coming from the place of being wounded by it, rather from a place of, and here's what I gained from it.
So beautiful, Jennifer. So beautiful. I feel like absolutely what we put our attention on will magnify and magnify and magnify. So the ability to go through a supported process with somebody like yourself, where we're moving towards what we want to see, is so important. And I so hear you, and I have felt that myself with, so much of the common experience of mental health support. It's, we're going so deep, we're going down there, but we're interacting and experiencing, and hopefully we feel again safe and held, like you said. But what next? Yeah, there's that need for that next part, which has to be led by what we want to experience and that connection. It's so synchronistic that I'm talking to you because 2 days ago I just finished Joe Dispenza's book, Becoming Supernatural.
Oh,
That
wonderful.
I read of his, I just kind of stumbled upon it, and I've been doing a lot of my own exploration and work and consciousness, and I loved it. So I feel like this is super aligned. But yeah, it's like that understanding of we are the medicine, like we have the medicine. And so it's putting, I love how you talked about putting your higher self in the driver's seat, recognizing that that wisdom, that inner, perfectly in health piece of us that has not been wounded is in charge, and learning how to have that connection and that ability to listen and trust that voice, that knowing that we have within, is a completely transforming experience. So yes, I mean, I absolutely feel that the places that we can go by tapping into our own consciousness, our own wisdom, and deciding where those limits are, because there aren't limits when you go to that field. So it's so beautiful and so important. And I love also how you've created a really structured way of navigating that, because that's an overwhelming process for many of us, when we're just kind of starting to get to know the infinite possibilities for our own healing, where miracles are totally possible, to be able to have, especially for, those of us who are, I have like a pretty Pitta Kapha constitution in Ayurveda. That's, I like the organization and the clear sort of, yeah, just the step-by-step process that holds me and makes me feel like I'm going in a way that is progressive forward. And that's really safe. That feels really grounded and safe for someone, especially during the postpartum window, when we feel very untethered. We don't feel grounded. We don't feel like we know what's going on, because we're in a completely new stage of reality that is by nature very subtle. So the way that we encounter our own wounds and our own fears is really a hard reality a lot of times, even for people who had a good birth experience, and who have support. Even if you have all of the pieces that we want everybody to have, this is a time where we're sort of forced to re get to know ourselves and our place in the world and our role as a parent, and it's intense. So to be able to have this type of support, and that's what we're doing here. It's like with all of, the understanding about the nutritional principles, understanding about how body work supports postpartum healing, understanding how a spiritual practice, a meditation practice, how understanding how all these pieces can be part of the healing picture. That's empowerment right there, and they all need to be part of the story. So this is a beautiful tool.
Yeah, thank you. I do think that it is supportive, and you know, it's a way. Obviously, the map is not the process, right? Just points. It points to a direction and helps guide the direction. And there are a lot of factors contributing to why so many are suffering in the postpartum, and why we're even on a rise. Like things are increasing in that. In that experience right now, there's, I would say, at least more acknowledged postpartum distress and suffering than perhaps there has been in even 24 years ago in my postpartum. But something I wanted to say about that is we have forgotten that, you know, birth is an initiation. It's an initiatory experience. And no matter how that birth unfolded, that's still an initiation into motherhood and parenthood. And when we have forgotten that that is what we're doing here, then we don't have culture taking care of it. We don't have systems and rituals and ceremonies in place to take care of it. Our mindset isn't even prepared properly for the fact that it's an initiation, which means it's an ordeal, which means that it's supposed to be hard, which means that we need to be greeted on the other side with a community of care and love and acknowledgement and support and celebration, and to be held in it and to be seen in it and to be witnessed in it. All of that is necessary as part of an initiatory process. And, you know, when we come through that portal, that birthing portal, you know, on that other side, we are discombobulated, right? Our entire being has been reorganized. It's being restructured. We don't give birth from ordinary plane of reality. We don't give birth from 3D consciousness. We don't give birth from beta brain frequency. Thinking, you know, linear, controlled, that kind of plane of reality, which we live in almost all the time, that is not the plane that we give birth from. Birth is an altered state experience. And I know not everybody has had the experience of an instinctive physiological birth in which they have, you know, navigated in that territory. Sometimes birth is interrupted. It is managed. It is done to us. I know all of that happens. But the challenge is that because we don't celebrate that, because we don't culturally see it and lift it up as one of the most important initiatory journeys, especially for those of us who are embodying a female body and are giving birth, then we're lost. And we feel that emptiness afterwards. We feel that isolation. We feel like something is missing. We understand that something wasn't quite right. And then we're left alone, picking up our pieces, trying to kind of reorganize ourselves, bring ourselves back into an embodied state alone. Or maybe just with the help of like one partner, you know, who might be there or might not, because work takes precedence over this very sacred experience that we call birth, but we don't see it collectively as sacred. It's just another thing that we do and to get on with our day to day, right? It's expected that we just figure it out, pick up our pieces, you know, and then tend to the house and tend to the space and tend to, and it's expected that we just know how to do this. And so then we're surprised at how hard it is. We're surprised that we're struggling in the postpartum. You know, I often hear moms say to me, I didn't expect it to be this hard. Nobody told me it would be this hard. Nobody prepared me for the postpartum. My birth class couldn't have prepared me for this. And it's because culture has not supported us in this. Our Western dominant culture is not set up to actually celebrate these initiations. If anything, it's set up to disconnect us even more from it. So is it any wonder that we're so disconnected in the postpartum? No. Is it painful? Yes. Is it emotionally dysregulating? Yes. Is it mentally tormenting? Yes. Do we see that something is lacking? Yes. Can we put our finger on it? Not always. Do we internalize that it's my fault, that I'm doing something wrong, that I can't figure it out? Yes. And this is the greatest lie of all lies, is that somehow it falls upon us, you, as the mother in the postpartum, that you've somehow done it wrong. And that somehow there's something wrong with your system to not be able to handle this phase of your life, when actually it's the other way around. Your system is responding correctly to not being supported in a culture that actually has forgotten how important this initiatory journey is. And the byproduct of that, when we're in a state of trauma or traumatic grief or any kind of dysregulation where we're stuck in survival stress, the byproduct is, it's me. That's the natural default. It's me. And then we stay tormented in the it's me story. And that's what breaks my heart the most. And what I want to be able to do is support people to come out of the it's me and see the greater picture and understand why their system is behaving the way it's behaving. And, you know, it's doing that in response to so many factors. And it's not just because there's some sort of chemical imbalance in your brain. And so that's my like deep passion, is just recognizing that we are suffering in the postpartum. And because of technology, we're talking about it more than ever, right? We didn't talk about this 24 years ago. Like, that seems, it feels like yesterday that I was in the postpartum period. And, you know, I would talk to my friends, and I happened to have some other moms at the same time, and we would chat about it, but nobody was talking about postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, even then, right? It was just kind of like, this is hard, you know, and you just sort of go through it. And it's like, yeah, I was sleep deprived for 10 years. You know, I had three children back to back. I was sleep deprived. I remember 10 years later waking up going, oh my goodness, I think I'm out of that cloud, right? It was just expected that you just tolerate all of that. I'm not saying that's right, but what I'm noticing now is that because of social media, because of technology, we are way more vocal about it than we've ever been. But also, the stressors are intensifying, even in those 25, like 24 years, right? The stressors are encroaching in on our system, and we're feeling that collectively, right? Things are, it's like a pressure cooker. And so we're trying to manage all of that within our nervous system by ourselves. That's a recipe for dysfunction.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, we collectively are, as you said, recognizing this is a problem, and there are changes we can make to help make it a nourishing experience that is the opposite of what it has been. And so I think you and I having this conversation, you doing the work that you're doing, which is so beautiful and inspiring, and the school that we have, like all of it is collectively contributing to an elevated voice of this is going to change, and we're all going to be a part of it. And that's part of that collective consciousness that we're building together. And I think it starts with what I can do in this moment today for me. And then it comes into a little wider circle and a little wider circle. So I feel like we have more conversations that need to happen here, because we have to close this one right now. But I want to invite you, Jennifer, to maybe leave us with a practice that we can do today for us to begin to feel a sense of connection with that capital S self.
Yeah, can you give me a moment? So the only practice that's coming up right now as a simple reminder would be, you know, the importance of turning towards that which is uncomfortable, charged, tight, right? Turning towards versus turning away from, to create some space, to let that experience be known, to let it be felt, to let it rise up in the system. And I think I'd like to leave with just like a comment of hope through understanding, you know, the intelligence of our system so that it's embodied. Is that okay?
It's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. So the message of hope that I always come back to and remind my clients as well that I know to be true is that within our embodied system, our biological system, you know, we hold both a system of survival and a system of thriving. And they're both there working in our favor. Obviously, our system of survival is keeping us alive, and our system of thriving is wanting us to flourish. And often when we're in survival, we forget that there's also right there within us this opportunity to thrive. And so leaning towards our thriving system, which I didn't get the opportunity to unpack, but that is that ventral state, that state of calm, connection, the state of possibility, the state of hope, you know, that state of really truly opening in love and in coherence, that that state is accessible. Even admit during, you know, those states of survival, we can be reminded of it. And so how can we shift from being trapped in survival to moving towards thriving is always the question that I hold. And knowing it exists within us means it's possible.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. I love this. And I think maybe we need to do a part two here on the system of thriving.
Yeah, I would love to.
Ways to do that. I am going to make sure that everyone who's listening to this has all the information they need in the show notes to keep learning about your beautiful work. And I just really appreciate being able to have this conversation. It's so, so inspiring to me, truly, because this is really, to me, at the root of, you know, we can know all the tools, we can know all of it, but without this greater presence of self and trust and love and faith in the own, like our own possibilities, those tools don't fully integrate. So to me, this is a huge, huge, beautiful direction in which to take our attention. And I just really appreciate you being a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Sacred Window Podcast is brought to you by the Center for Sacred Window Studies. You can visit us to find out more about our online training and mentoring programs, plus resources and products for and about the sacred postpartum window at www.sacredwindowstudies.com. And our music is written and performed by Sarah Emmett. You can hear more of Sarah's music by visiting www.sarahemmett.bandcamp.com.